Coming up on today's show.
The day that we competed, that afternoon, we found out that there were great whites in the area and that that's why they moved the whole entire swim after I had already finished my particular event inside the harbor.
Peace be with you. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, YouTube, the SiriusXM app, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net or catholicsportsradio.com. They will both get you to the same place. Be sure that you have signed up there for the free Catholic Sports Radio e-newsletter that gets sent out every Monday when a new episode of this show comes out. Social media for the show, Facebook, X, YouTube, and Instagram, all of which there are links for at the top of the website. I invite you to engage with me and the show through one or more of those. The Catholic Sports Radio community, that is the name of the Facebook group, whose members are both listeners and some past guests. There is no cost to join that. The quick way to find it is the big white button that is immediately below my picture near the top of the homepage of catholicsportsradio.net. I so enjoy hearing from listeners. Social media, as well as the website, all give you the opportunity to contact me, as does traditional email, which you can do through Bruce@CatholicSportsRadio.net. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. In this time following the Winter Olympics in Italy, we will be hearing a lot about some of the decorated athletes from those games. They will be featured in national interviews. Some of them will get endorsements. You might remember the days when they would end up on the Wheaties cereal box. Many times they will return to their hometown and there will be a special event to celebrate them, or we will see them do, say, a ceremonial first pitch at a baseball game or drop the puck before a National Hockey League game for a ceremonial face-off. These activities are all fun, but it is important to maintain perspective. These men and women are at the top of their game with a medal showing that they are at the top of the sporting world in whatever they compete in. However, there is only one true being that deserves the highest praise and all the accolades and all the glory. In the Old Testament, the book of Amos, chapter 4, verse 11, says, quote, "The one who forms mountains and creates winds and declares to mortals their thoughts, who makes dawn into darkness and strides upon the heights of the earth, the Lord, the God of hosts, is his name." Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest has earned USA Triathlon's Lifetime Achievement Award, among other honors. She went from being a USA racer slash triathlete into an international world triathlete. In 2017, she qualified for Age Group Team USA Triathlon, and this will be her 11th year racing the World Triathlon Championships. She has raced in Denmark, Slovakia, Germany, Spain, and Australia, and in 2026 will be back in Spain as well as the United Arab Emirates. She is also a USA Triathlon Certified Level 2 coach, plus she teaches 13 fitness classes weekly. As we will hear today, she has been swimming competitively since she was a little girl. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Joni Briganti.
Oh, thank you so much, Bruce. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. My pleasure. Thank you. We're sitting together in Orlando. I just found out where you actually live, but I'd also love to know, where were you born and raised, and what was the family size?
Oh, I'm sorry. Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and there was five of us. I had two older brothers.
And the other two were girls. Are you in the middle?
No, I'm the baby. Two brothers and me. I'm the baby.
Oh, five of us,
yeah.
Meaning three kids.
My mom
kids
and dad.
Okay. You are a cradle Catholic. Share with us about the presence of the faith in the household you grew up in, including Catholic education you received, and a personal connection you had to two individuals who devoted their life to serving the Lord.
Yep, I grew up in a very Catholic home, attended Mass all the time, every holiday, all the weekdays, and my mother's sister, and my Aunt Dolores was a sister of St. Joseph, and then we had a really good friend who, Father Damien, who was a priest who I was very close with.
And fill the audience in, you get a lot of Catholic education.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. I went to Catholic kindergarten, St. Josephat's, and then I went to Resurrection of Our Lord Elementary School all the way through eighth grade, and then Nazareth Academy High School, but all in Philadelphia.
So it sounds to me like your entire K through 12 was all Catholic education. Wow.
Yes.
Wow. And all in the Philadelphia area.
Yes.
Fantastic. I mentioned in the intro that you've been swimming competitively since you were a little girl, but my gosh, Age four competitively? And then you just kept going from there, right? Elementary school, high school. Just tell us about all that.
Oh, wow. Well, the rumor is that my dad threw me in when I was 9 months old and I came right up to the surface and swam to the wall. I don't think that's true, but that's what my brothers and my mom and dad have always told me. And we belonged to a local swim club called Winchester Swim Club in Philadelphia. And they had a six and under age group, which is very unusual because usually regular racing in the Delaware Valley Swim League starts with eight and under. Mm. But this was a special event. And I won the 25 meter freestyle at 4 years old in the age group six and under.
Wow.
And I can still see my parents like running, and my brothers too, running down the side of the pool saying, "Go, Tony, go, Tony."
But this story aside about ha, 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 they threw me in the pool. You took to swimming on your own. It wasn't that they forced you or that your brothers were swimmers or your parents were swimmers. Like, why did that become your sport? How did that become your sport?
We were all swimmers. Yes, that's a really good question. Yep, my oldest brother was All-American swimming. Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. My middle brother didn't like it very much. I think he kind of just did it just to, you know, satisfy my mom and dad. But my mom and dad were both swimmers also. Nothing competitive, just really good at swimming. And we always went to the beach during the summer months and swam in the ocean. No problem, no scariness, nothing like that.
Mm-hmm. But did you at any point say, "I love swimming, but I'm a young girl. I want to try tennis. I want to try basketball"?
I played basketball. I was a varsity cheerleader also, like through school, through fourth grade, all the way through high school. No, it was swimming for me. I really enjoyed swimming.
And so competitively, you were middle school, high school,
it was
all competitive.
Yes.
Wow. Just elaborate on to what extent.
Well, I swam in the Junior Olympics when I was nine. I swam the individual medley in Washington, D.C., took second place.
So at some point, did you start saying, you know, this is no longer like, I just enjoy it. Did you make the conscious decision, I want to be a competitive swimmer?
I don't think so. I think it was just all very natural for me. Yeah, I mean, my parents were very supportive. And I mean, we used to go to swim practice before school in the morning and then after school in the evening. Yeah, at Philadelphia Aquatic Club, which was right near Nazareth Academy High School. Yeah, it was all about competition, traveling, you know, doing not any kind of international competition at that age, but all local stuff in the tri-state area.
Mm, fantastic. Fantastic. More times than not, I will close the interview each week by asking the guest how long they have been in the sacrament of holy matrimony. With you, though, I'm going to bring it up now because when you got married, it took you to another country. You not only had to adjust to becoming a wife and living outside the United States, but it also launched you into the world of coaching.
Mm-hmm.
Tell the audience what I'm referring to.
Oh, wow. So I got married young. My husband and I met at the Naval Academy. Both of my brothers had attended there. And I was 19 when I got married, and my husband was 22. And we moved to Japan 3 days after we got married in 1977. And I was like a young military wife. And back then, there were all sorts of things for young officers' wives to belong to, like an officer's club or a woman's guild, such things. Also was very involved in the Catholic Church over there, too. Father Don, I still remember his name. But yeah, I was offered a position because everybody knew about my swimming background. I was the only one who would go swim laps during the lap time, you know, the hour lap time down at the local pool down in Yokohama where we lived. And somebody said, "Oh, you should be a coach. You would be so great with the children." And so that's what I did. I coached Children's Swim League for 3 years while we lived in Japan.
Children of what ages?
Children from, let's see, about 8 to 18.
But was this recreational? It was a paid job. Was it competitive? What did that coaching look like?
It was a paid job.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. It wasn't under any kind of like U.S. Master Swimming like I am now. Mm-hmm. I don't even know if U.S. Master Swimming was actually a thing back in 1977. I can't really recall, but it was through the Athletic League, the Amateur Athletic Union. That's what it was through.
So were you coaching Japanese kids or
no, you were all just military.
Coaching? Okay.
It was a pool that was on a military base.
So it was all the American.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was awesome.
Wow. Well, you just started to mention this, but I want to focus on something in that answer. I asked you about becoming a wife, adjusting to living outside the United States and becoming a swimming coach. But your Catholic faith, I had intended to ask you if it was still part of your life when you lived in Japan, because I looked up online in preparation for this interview and I found that Catholics were less than 1% of the total Japanese population in the late 1970s.
Yeah, I believe that's probably true. But this was all, you know, on a military base. And so they had military chaplains. And like I said, I can remember him really clearly, Father Don.
But does that mean you were going to church on base?
Mm-hmm.
They had a Catholic church on base.
Yes. Well, wow. It was actually universal. And it was kind of interesting because if it was a Protestant service and they would just have a cross, and then they would bring out a crucifix for the Catholic service in the same area.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it was really special.
Friends, Joni is nice enough to take time out and sit and record with me face-to-face instead of my usual guest call-in format. And even though we are, for all intents and purposes, a stone's throw from Disney, she did not travel here to go to the theme parks. I will have her fill us in on what brought her to Central Florida. But first, let's think back to all the Catholic education she told us that she received. Alliance Catholic Credit Union is proud to support Catholic Sports Radio, and they invite you to help them support Catholic education. Through Alliance Catholic Foundation, they provide 20 scholarships every year to families striving to ensure their children can attend a Catholic school. If you become a friend of the foundation, you will help them continue this good work, and you will have an opportunity to open an account with Alliance Catholic Credit Union. Learn more at AllianceCatholicFoundation.org, federally insured by NCUA. And please be sure to tell them you heard about them on Catholic Sports Radio. I think another sign of this being a ministry for me is not being as thorough as I might otherwise like to be, meaning keeping really strict records among other administrative tasks. As you all should know by now, this is neither my full-time nor my part-time job. Catholic Sports Radio is something I felt was laid on my heart by the Lord, and I have answered that call on time every week for more than 7 years now. But operating it comes with its challenges. For example, I lost track of the fact that it was time for the annual renewal of a domain name I have sitting out there for the website. Granted, it's only $21.99, but these various expenses all add up. Since I don't get any income for doing this show, I have to try to find some way out of my own pocket to cover that and all other expenses associated with operating this ministry. If you have been listening long enough, you have heard instances where I have thanked guests or listeners who have made a contribution to Catholic Sports Radio. Since we're in the season of Lent, I know you're hearing the pastor at your parish, if not the other priests, talking about prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. Usually they'll break down the almsgiving into percentages, including something that they'll say you just feel a personal connection to and a desire to wanting to support. I would ask you to prayerfully consider if Catholic Sports Radio is that special ministry that you feel strongly about, that you believe in, that you have a strong attachment to, and would like to support as part of your tithing. Head to the show website, catholicsportsradio.net, and look for the blue Donate to CSR button, which will allow you to contribute in any amount via credit card, debit card, or even PayPal. Alternatively, for those who do not like putting credit card information on the internet, you can contact me via the website, social media, or email me through bruce@catholicsportsradio.net for details on how to send me a check through the mail. Regardless of which of those two methods you use, as you have heard me do with listeners and some past guests who have contributed, I will happily say your name on an upcoming episode of the show as a public thanks, or if you prefer, you can ask me to keep it anonymous. I am grateful for your prayerful consideration as I continue working to move us all closer to Christ through the mix of faith and sports. Joni, if I have this correct, after Japan, you and your husband next lived in Hawaii. Tell us about what change that brought in terms of athletic participation, plus What took place after the birth of your second child?
Oh, yes. So we moved to Hawaii, and I was really into swimming, as I told you. I did a lot of open water swimming. We participated in the Waikiki Rough Water Swim Series and the North Shore Swim Series, and I was still running. So in Hawaii, where we lived, you could do a biathlon, which is what they used to be called. Now they call them aquathlons. Biathlon every weekend if you felt like it. And we were like 20 minutes from Ala Moana Beach Park, which is where all the big races were held. So it was really, really an exciting life. And so I had a little one then. See, my son would have been around 4. And then I had my daughter in 1982. And after I had my daughter, I just couldn't lose the baby weight. I mean, it just was hanging around. So I really started picking up my running pace and combined more and more with biathlons and swimming and training. And I had a really good friend who had a Fuji steel bicycle for sale. And he's like, hey, you know, I'll sell you my Fuji bike for like $300, you know, if you want to take up triathlon because you're already good at swimming and running. I thought, well, why not? So I bought this bike. I mean, it was a big clunker bike compared to the bikes that we ride now. $300, laid it down, big steel. I remember it was an ugly olive green. And my very first triathlon, which was on the windward side, I qualified for nationals.
Wow.
So the triathlon, you know, in my heart was born. But it was all through the grace of God, you know, just being in Hawaii and being in the right spot, you know, I just feel like that's all like divine intervention. I really believe in divine intervention. And one of the things that I really love about my love of Jesus Christ and sports is that it had developed inside of me this ministry to encourage others that they could do it too. So that's kind of where I want to be, to encourage and inspire and ignite others that they can do it too, not just me. So to me, it's not really about like winning races. I mean, not that I don't like to win. We all like to win. And every year I have to qualify, you know, for Team USA. So that's like a big deal. But to see others, especially people who I work with, achieve their goals, that's what's really most important to me.
Now that statement and you saying that you feel that that's your ministry, as well as you saying that qualifying that very first time was through the grace of God, is that something that you realized many years later, or even in that time in Hawaii, were you already aware that that faith and sports went together?
Yes, I was totally aware that faith and sports went together.
Walk us through that. How did you know? What were you seeing? What were you feeling? What was the Lord laying on your heart
really,
way back then?
Really hard to...
Because God bless you to have recognized it, because that was a long time ago.
Well, for one thing, we swam open water off of Waikiki, where there are sharks and all sorts of other things that can get you. And I would just, you know, pray the rosary the whole time I was swimming. I pray the rosary on the bike. I pray the rosary when I'm running. I pray the rosary now on a daily basis. I think it was laid on my heart that others could do it too. And I don't know how else to explain that. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know where to put that into words.
Well, based on the work that you've done with other people, I mean, I mentioned how many fitness classes you're still doing. There's something that you had told me that you stopped doing last October or November.
Oh, yeah.
So the fact is that you have realized that these others have the potential given to them from God, and that you've been given these gifts to share with others.
Yes.
I don't mean to put words in your mouth.
No, that's exactly right. You explained it so much better. That's exactly how I feel. Yeah, I feel like everybody, you know, can be empowered by our Savior to do their best, and that they can do it too. I mean, it's people look at me and they're like, you're 67 years old. I mean, how can you still be running and biking and swimming and doing all these races? You know, if you saw what my 26th season has in store for me, I mean, it's jam-packed. And that's because of Jesus Christ. It's because of the grace of God.
Well, let's not kid ourselves. If you were going into shark-infested waters, surely you were praying for protection.
Oh, totally.
As you went out there.
I swim with sharks. I swim with crocodiles. I swim with alligators. I mean, this last race that I did last year for Team USA in Wollongong, Australia, that's a really good story if you want me to tell you a funny story.
Well, what I'd like to find out is, you know, where do you, and this is kind of getting into sports psychology, I think, but, you know, where do you draw the line between, okay, I recognize these are going to be shark-infested waters, but I have to put all of my focus and my attention into my sport and not looking over my shoulder, literally, to see. So just walk us through how you accomplish that. And I know you're going to say through the intercession of the Holy Spirit.
Generally, before a race, I just gather everybody and we do what we call a prayer huddle. And we're all like hunched over in a circle and everybody has a prayer to say if they want to. They don't have to. Generally, I lead that prayer. And when I'm actually competing, after I have said my prayer before I start, I'm not thinking about sharks or anybody coming to get me, anything coming to get me. I just feel, I tell people that I feel like I put on the armor of God, and that's just how I compete. And then when I finish, it's like, thank you, Jesus.
But I'm also interested to hear about when you're competing in the different activities within a triathlon, do you get to a point where you say, okay, I'm on the bicycle for a long time. I might as well say, you know, a decade of the rosary or something.
Oh, I pray the whole rosary on the bike. Yeah.
Wow. While you're competing, mm-hmm. not
recreationally. And when I'm training
or,
too.
Wow.
Yeah. And while I'm competing. Because I do Ironman. I've done 9 full Ironman triathlons.
Wow.
So that's 2.4 miles swim, 112 on the bike and a marathon. Got plenty of time to pray lots of rosaries.
Yeah. Well, and I'm pleased to hear that because as a layperson, meaning someone who doesn't participate in that sport, my inclination is, oh, they're probably just so focused on what they're doing and the level of fitness and their breathing and things like that. So it's nice to hear that you can make time for prayer.
Yes, most definitely.
So I had started into all that by having you talk about having moved to Hawaii. So speaking of places people have lived or traveled to, I live over in the Tampa Bay area, but you're no stranger to Central Florida. Wow. Tell the audience what you've been coming to the Orlando area for, well, for many, many years now.
I'm what Run Disney calls a Run Disney perfect princess. So I have run every 5K, 10K, and half marathon 18 consecutive years this year since 2009.
Of theirs.
This will be my 18th year, and I'm racing this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
So say those three again, every 5K.
The 5K mm-hmm. is on Friday, the 10K is on Saturday, and the half marathon's on Sunday this week. So Run Disney calls us perfect princesses. There's only 22 of us left.
Wow.
Out of 28,000 runners. So it's pretty big deal.
Yeah, and I'm glad you clarified that because I thought you were making multiple trips a year here so that you could do the 5K in February, the 10K maybe in May, and maybe the... Wow.
I do run other Disney races, but mm-hmm. I'm only perfect, meaning I've done it every year consecutively since its inception for Princess.
For 18 years?
Yes, since 2009.
Gosh. Wow. Wow. Now, is that a Disney-only event? Is it sanctioned by USA Triathlon? In other words, why are people competing in that?
Oh, no, it's Run Disney because it's so special. It's just mm-hmm. so much fun. I mean, they have characters like every mile. And if you love Disney, and we got engaged at Disneyland, so it's all his fault, my husband's fault. We got engaged at Disneyland, and it has been a part of my life ever since then.
But clearly they have medals for first, second, and third.
Oh,
I'm
yes,
sure.
They do.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. And go ahead. I'm sure you've won.
No. I have a really good time and I stop with characters along the way and just enjoy. Now, triathlon's my big medal winner.
Okay. God bless you.
Thank you.
Back in the intro, I rattled off 6 countries, not counting the United States, where you race. How do you manage to get yourself to Mass on Sundays if you're in strange surroundings such as Slovakia or the United Arab Emirates? But even more so, have you encountered scheduling conflicts where there's a race scheduled at a time that is going to hinder you from trying to get to a Mass?
Nope, it won't happen. And you can ask my husband this too. We were talking about it this morning. He makes fun of me because it's the first thing I do when we get to a particular country is that I look up where local Mass is. And that is planned right into the schedule. And generally I go on Saturday evenings. So we'll have like an early dinner if I'm racing on Sunday morning. Mm-hmm. We'll go to 5 o'clock Mass, come home, you know, get organized, go to bed, and then race the next morning.
So for the audience, it's always helpful to hear the different resources that are available in our Catholic faith. So what do you use to find out Mass times and locations in these other countries?
I just go on to Safari or Go Duck Go and just put in Catholic Mass nearby. We went to the most beautiful church in Porto on our way down to Pontevedra that was built in the 1400s. And, you know, it may be in Spanish. My husband's fluent in Spanish, but I am not. But, you know, I know the order of the Mass. I know exactly where I am and what I'm supposed to say. I may not understand what the gospel is in Spanish, but I can follow along on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not hard at all to find Catholic Mass overseas.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, I won't miss Mass.
by this point, it probably sounds to the audience as though your whole life is devoted to triathlon. But in fact, you are involved in many ministries back where you live in Virginia. Share with the audience about all of that activity.
Oh, I'm involved in RCIA, Rite of Christian Initiation in Adults. I'm a homebound Eucharistic minister, so I go to either senior homes or a hospital or deliver homebound communion to people who can't get to Mass. And I'm a Eucharistic minister within my parish and the Women's Guild and the Fredericksburg Food Bank, which is very important to me. And I really like to be active with the homeless community in our town.
Mm. Through the church or? Mm-hmm.
Through the church, yes.
Wow, wow. We do have time. Go ahead and share the fun Australia story that
you wanted
goodness. To tell
a few
minutes
ago. Oh, my goodness.
Oh,
I kind of feel silly now about
it. That's okay.
So I have a Hashimoto's disease. I don't know if you ever heard of that. It's a vestibular disorder of the inner ear. And so I'm very susceptible to rotational spinning. And so the water looked really rough this one day, 2 days before our event. And I thought, well, I'm going to go out there and get a feel for the water and make sure that I have built mental confidence in here, you know, that I can compete in this event. And it was within a harbor where we would swim outside to go outside the breakwater. And then there was about 1 mile outside of the breakwater before we would actually about 1.2 miles before we came back in. And as I was approaching the breakwater, leaving the smoother water of the inner harbor, it started to get really rough. And I went out there with two friends, and we didn't have any kind of support system, you know, kayakers or lifeguards or anything like that. And so I just told my one friend, I said, you know, I've had enough. I'm fine. I can do it. I just didn't feel safe enough to go outside the breakwater on this particular day. So as I was swimming back to shore, I could see my husband standing on the beach about 300 yards in. And I really wasn't paying attention. I was probably praying the rosary is probably what I was doing. Mm-hmm. I don't really recall. And I swam head on into this fish that was about 3.5 feet tall. And he was hanging vertically with his whiskers, you know, going like this and making this face, scared the living, you know, oh my gosh, I was just so panicky about it. And I thought, oh my gosh, okay, just keep going, just keep going, just keep going. And the day that we competed that afternoon, we found out that there were great whites in the area and that's why they moved the whole entire swim after I had already finished my particular event inside the harbor, and they put big nets up. This is when Wollongong, Australia, last year at the World Triathlon Championship Finals.
Tell the audience how much my mouth just...
Bruce's mouth was really hung wide open.
Wow.
Yeah. So praise Jesus.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And you know, a lot of people didn't know about that either, not just me.
Mm. Wow. Wow. Yeah. And you know, I think we hear about a place like Australia. I think you hear about open water swim. I think you hear about, you know, this traveling that you do internationally for triathlon. You don't realize that these things are very real.
Oh,
you know,
they are.
There's a very real chance you can encounter some things that you really didn't want to encounter when you first set out on
it. In Australia, you know, we had crocodiles and we had stingers, these little tiny microscopic jellyfish that would get into your wetsuit. And yeah, not very pleasant at all. But, you know, you carry on.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we can tell that, you know, you are very passionate about what you do as a triathlete. And I can tell just meeting you today that you're not going to let that deter you from traveling, from competing, from getting in the water. Any stories about other aspects of triathlon where you've had some harrowing experiences?
I've been really blessed, you know, as far as Team USA. I race for Team USA age group, so not Olympics. By no means am I an Olympian.
Right.
But no, I can't think of any harrowing experiences.
You've avoided injury all these years?
Oh, no, I get injuries a lot. Did you really want to talk about that?
But has it been something that, say, you know, I missed an entire year?
Oh, no, because... absolutely not.
Okay.
No. I mean, I had a meniscus tear. I had surgery. I've had torn tendons in my ankles, and I've been running for 50 years. So I have a really wonderful sports medicine doctor who's very into, also a Catholic Christian, you know, maintaining goals and achieving and continuing on. And, you know, when you speak to somebody who's been doing this a long time, and you know, as an athlete yourself, I'm not going to quit.
Yeah.
Nothing's going to keep me. I mean, I'll be out there running in two ankle braces, whatever it takes, you know, to get the job done. I'm not going to quit for anything. And anyway, he's very encouraging and and has told me, you know, just keep doing what you're doing. Your feet are really deformed, but they have deformed themselves into a way where you can still move forward and just keep going, Joni. So that's what I'm doing.
Wow. Praise God.
You know, and that is, yeah, that is Jesus Christ right there.
Yeah. Yeah. Because a lot of people would say, I guess this isn't meant for me. I guess I can't.
Oh, well,
right?
A lot of people, instead of, can't is not in my vocabulary.
Well, there was a recent guest, Dr. Dylan Caswell, who has a hope, not nope. And I think that's what you're saying
is
instead of saying, nope, I can't do it, the Lord is showing you that there's hope.
Totally.
And that doesn't matter that you have this condition. You can get out there and run. And of course, you know, to have this expert in sports medicine to say, you can do it, you know, that's certainly reassuring.
And Jesus knows the end of my story.
That's right.
So
that's right.
And it's all planned out.
So as we head into the home stretch here, speaking of your story, the audience might have noticed by its absence that we didn't talk about, well, did she swim in college? Because you have a very non-traditional story.
I do, yeah.
You mentioned earlier that you got married at 19.
Yes.
But you did go to college eventually.
I did, yeah. So I got married at 19. I kind of did things backwards. Plus, you know, like I said, my husband with his naval career and his FBI career, we moved around a lot. Raised five children. So when my children, I guess my youngest were around 12 and 5 probably, I went back to school. I went to the University of Mary Washington in Fredericksburg, Virginia. It was very exciting, very non-traditional student. Oh my gosh, I had so much fun. And I graduated in 2008.
With a degree in?
In psychology.
Ah. Yep.
And then I went on to get my master's certificate in applied behavioral analysis.
Wow.
And then I did work for a short time for autism outreach, but the athletics and the working full time and raising my family, because my husband with his job still deploys at that time, was not working out. So I just went strictly with athletics.
Yeah, very nice. Very nice.
So I did swim in college. I didn't swim for the college, but I was still swimming at the college, like before classes, in between classes, and running.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
I see. Nothing was going to keep you out of the pool,
mm-mm,
including being a mom of five.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
We heard about getting married almost a half century ago, and I made reference to when you gave birth to your second child. You just said there's actually five. So let's close by having you share more about the family that you and your husband have made. So you have five children. How many boys and girls?
Boy, girl, boy, girl, boy. Yep.
Wow.
Boy, girl, boy,
wow,
girl, boy. And I have two beautiful granddaughters.
You do?
Yes.
And are they in the area of Virginia where you
no,
are?
No,
you
I have
them?
All my children. I have four children in California. I have somebody in San Diego, Petaluma, Los Gatos, and West LA. And then my youngest son, who I told you is deployed right now, active duty Army captain, is stationed at Joint Base Lewis McChord in Seattle.
Mm.
Yep. So we were just out there. When we came home from Australia, we went through and visited everybody.
Okay. And you mentioned how active you are with your parish, but go ahead and shout out the church that you belong to.
Oh, yes. I belong to St. Mary's of the Immaculate Conception.
Outstanding.
Fredericksburg, Virginia.
Outstanding. Well, I know that this interview is going to air after you will have raced here at Disney, but you said that you do have a very busy 2026 race-wise. So audience, let's all be in prayer for Joni, for good health, for enjoyment, for success as she goes through all of those races in 2026 and clearly beyond, because you don't sound like you're stopping anytime soon.
No way, not stopping.
So thank you so much. It's great
thank
to meet you,
you Bruce.
And I really
you so
appreciate
much.
You making time out of this trip here to Central Florida to sit and talk with me for Catholic Sports Radio.
Well, this has been wonderful. It is my pleasure.
Audience, you know that we always close with a prayer, and full disclosure, I forgot to bring one of my sports prayers with me, but I feel as though Joni and I have been talking that the Lord has laid it on my heart that we should pray to St. Michael the Archangel, particularly because Joni's talked about putting on the armor of God and the protection that she does need when she's in shark-infested waters or on the bike or any aspect of triathlon. So let's pray that together right now in the name of the Father,
and
of the Son,
and
of the Holy Spirit.
Spirit.
Amen.
St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the heavenly host, through the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world seeking the ruin of souls.
This we ask through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Can I just say one more thing,
you
Bruce?
Can.
I just want everybody to know that there is nothing that means more to me than glorifying the name of Jesus through sport.
Outstanding. Thank you so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, X, YouTube, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.